So, Brother Jim, why don't you head up here and we'll just turn it over to you.
It is good to be back. It's been a little while since we were here last. Last furlough, we timed it. Some things happened. We got here, and about a week after we arrived in the U.S., there was that first case of COVID here in Washington, and everything just kind of went, a little bit bizarre for a bit. It was a great furlough. God still blessed us, but we had to spend most of it in, not in the West Coast. So it's good to be able to be here today and give you a little bit of an update on what God's been doing, what He's allowed you to be a part of, and what you've been supporting out in the country of Vanuatu in the middle of the South Pacific. History-wise, for those of you that maybe don't know who we are or know where the country is, used to be known as the New Hebrides. If that doesn't help you, we're northeast of Australia, about directly west of Fiji, south of the Solomon Islands, north and a little bit west of New Zealand. So hopefully one of those areas on the map helps you pinpoint. And if that doesn't work, look for the very right side down in the bottom corner of your map. There's a couple of little black dots where the islands are and a great big light. And that's Vanuatu. So we are right out there in the middle of the South Pacific. About 84, 83 to 85 islands is the official count. There's two that are still under dispute. They have been for as long as I've known about the country and probably will be pretty well indefinitely. So a lot of different areas of need, a lot of different cultures from island to island. God's allowed us to minister in the capital city and then reach out from there, kind of like a central hub in the country. It's how it's always been through the history, into various other areas within the nation. So my name's Jim Hertzel. This is my wife, Ari. And our two girls, as we mentioned, are in New Zealand. Both of them are in Auckland. For those of you that remember them, Rochelle has been married for 5 years now, married a godly young man. Kind of an odd story. I won't go into all the details, but one of my Bible college teachers, his son is now my son-in-law. And so a connection that we all teased about when I was in Bible college, but nobody thought would actually happen. And God worked it a couple of countries later, and they met in Bible college in New Zealand. So they've been married 5 years. And then Tara, our youngest, has been married 4 years. And one of our pastor friends, a good young man as well, godly young man. So God has been, he's really blessed us that way. And having them in New Zealand is great because that's about as close as you can get to Vanuatu. So that has been a real blessing for us. Thank you for your prayers over the years. I think at this point, maybe the best way to show you a little bit more about Vanuatu, to put some pictures to it, it's hard to visualize sometimes, is to show the presentation. And just a short one this time. We don't have a huge furlough presentation. This is not a huge furlough. Mostly we're here to get our passports, which, praise the Lord, just came through this last week. And that way we're good. We don't have to worry about that. And to visit my mom with her health. That's been an answer to prayer as well, because her health has had a real turnaround. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I think if we're ready for it, we'll go ahead and show the presentation now. We are Jim and Ari Hertzel, serving throughout the islands of the country of Vanuatu. Thank you for your continuing prayers and support over this last year. This is your fruit. In 2021, the church in Port Vila celebrated our 21st anniversary with a fruitful missions conference. We had powerful preaching, an amazing attendance, and a new missionary pastor, Pastor Gabriel Insanto, taken on for support. One of our faithful teachers, Jesse Marak Sumas, reached the island of Sola for the first time with our creation science outreach made possible by Search for the Truth. Together, we continue to reach new islands and their students with the truth of God's creation. Our youth under Jose and Georgina's leadership has continued to grow. We also completed our third major building project, making room for the school and ministry to grow in Port Vila. Ronald, one of my Bible college students, is reaching out to his home island of Tanna. He's had a great opportunity to preach and teach a two-week course on Baptist distinctives with a strong gospel focus.
This is the story of Tom and Napopo. Tom had worked with a missionary almost his entire life, had translated many messages into the Tannese language. But Tom, the way he put it, was like having a coconut handed to him that was still in the shell. That there was meat, there was food inside of it, but he had no idea how to access it. During our last trip, we had a chance to present the gospel to Tom. And Tom afterwards said, "Finally, somebody cracked open the coconut. He's handed us the meat. We can eat. We can eat." This is what we ask you to continue praying for here in Vanuatu. Many have a closed coconut. They need it cracked open. They need to have the meat of the gospel so that they can eat.
During this first trip to Tanna, we ministered not only through creation science in local schools, but to Ronald's village, where we saw Tom and Napopo saved. Also many others that had an opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. Later this year, we will be returning to the islands of Malekula and Tanna on mission trips. In the island of Tanna, we have 5 schools with over 1,000 students and teachers lined up for this second trip, and an opportunity to continue to reach to Ronald's family and the village that is in need of a local church. Continue to pray with us as we go. We are truly thankful for your prayers and support as we continue to reach the many islands of Vanuatu. That brings you up to about a year ago. And it's not everything that's happened by any stretch, but about as much as you can fit in 4 minutes. God has been so good to us in Vanuatu, in the ministry. Since then, to give you a little bit of an update, beyond what you've seen there, the group that you saw singing at the end, that's in the island of Tanna, down to the south of us. Ronald, that ministry started with a young man who grew up very religious. He grew up with his dad as a pastor, and he came to Port Vila asking to go to Bible college. And we said, well, first thing, why don't you just come to church? And so he started coming to church and volunteered, said, "I want to be a part of one of the youth outreaches that you have." And so I said, "All right, you can come, but not really as a youth leader. I didn't really know him yet, hadn't had a chance to talk to him. But he was borderline youth himself. So I said, "All right, why don't you come and you can help out?" Okay. He came and we had an opportunity to sit down just question after question from him. And at the end, he looked over at me and he said, "Pastor, I've not done any of those things." He said, "I'm not saved. What do I do?" And of course, there's a great answer in God's word for that. So I had a chance to lead him to the Lord, and we saw his salvation there at the youth camp. He realized at that point, Bible college was not where he needed to go. First off, he says, "I just need to start with the basics. I need to learn everything I thought I knew. I don't know." And so we started with discipleship. Ronald has grown from there. He graduated Bible college this year, or at least will graduate as soon as I get back. He has all of his requirements done. They're just waiting for us to return for the final graduation ceremony to make it official, I guess. But he's had this opportunity through his family in the island of Tanna. One of the men that you saw standing there was his dad, who was a preacher. There was an old missionary Baptist church that had been in Tanna, And they had allowed the John Frum belief to come into the Missionary Baptist Church, and what was left was a more of a custom church than, well, anything biblical. John Frum is, for those of you that don't remember, maybe from a previous time that I was here, that volcano that you saw at the end, that is where John Frum resides. It started as John Frum America. And then they dropped the America because they found out that America was not the promised land. And it just became John Frum. John Frum is the reincarnation of Paraparaumu, who is the volcano god. And also at the same time, Christ returned to the earth, according to the John Frum belief. And one day he'll return from the volcano and bring material wealth to the people. And so that had come into the church. So his father realized, I'm not saved either. And fought. He came to church. He was there because of medical. And Ronald told him, I'm not taking you to any other church. You have to come here. And he told me afterwards, for about the first almost 3 months that he was there, he was mad every Sunday. He was just mad at me. And finally, we had an opportunity to sit down with him and lead him to the Lord. And to see him save, the testimony that he gave was amazing. From there, it moved to his mother. We saw others of his family saved. And slowly, we're seeing a solid group in the island of Tanna. Just earlier this year, Ronald has had an opportunity to go two times. The last was during Easter. And at Easter, he had an opportunity to see his, we say in Vanuatu, small daddy. The small daddy is the brother of his father. Okay, so there's, I won't go into the whole family structure. It gets pretty complicated. But the small daddy is not an uncle. The uncle's only on mom's side. But the small daddy is on the dad's side. His small daddy, every single trip that we've been there, every time we went out to the creation science, he was one of our best workers. He would go out and help us, you know, cover the books and get drenched, and amazing heart. But again, very, very religious. And the last time we were there, we had a chance to spend a lot of time with the family. He came up afterwards and gave me a big hug and just kind of held on. And that you don't do that for the Tannese. You don't hug somebody else in public, especially another man. And he cried. And you don't cry in public. You don't show weakness. And he said, when you leave, God goes with you. And the problem was, he did not know Christ himself. And so when we left, he felt that God's presence was leaving, that he was left alone and empty. The next time Ronald went back, he had an opportunity at Easter to lead his small daddy to the Lord. And we saw another in his family saved. From that point, that man has been, well, he has been active, sharing his faith. Going to all of his family, going to all the villages around and saying, look, I thought I knew. I thought I was saved. You all know me, that I worked. This was my life. And he says, and I didn't know Christ. I would have gone to hell. And he's preaching. He's sharing what he knows. It's an exciting time in Tanna right now. Pray for Ronald as he goes back. He feels called to preach. He feels called to pastor, to reach his island. We're praying that that group, that seed, we would see in God's timing, church started in Tanna. There's a desire and there's a growing amount of Christians there. So pray for Ronald. Pray for wisdom for him as he graduates. This is the time where now Bible college, other things are not going to keep him from it. So pray that he'll do what God would have him to do and pray that he has the wisdom to follow God's leading in that. Malekula, some of you may have heard throughout, if you followed our prayer letters, the island of Malekula, to give you an update there. We didn't have much of Malekula in this presentation, but this last January, through December and January, Hosea and Georgina, this is our youth leader and his wife, both of them, Hosea started as a youth in the Sunday school, 12 years old. He now has two boys of his own. One's in the school ministry. A student in the school ministry. I maybe specify that a little bit better. And he's been the youth leader for a long time. He also just graduated this year from Bible college. And they had a chance to go to Malekula, just the two of them. It's the first time he's ever been out. Missions, to preach, to go out on his own. It's always been with me. And when it's with me, there's a little bit of Well, protection. He could defer if there was ever a question. He was going on his own, absolutely terrified about going on his own. And if you've ever done that on your own the first time, you know what we're talking about. And he went and wasn't sure what would happen. Both of them, it was such an amazing opportunity. God used a time, and thank you if you've been praying for Pastor Nicholson. If you haven't seen in the prayer letter, his wife lost her leg just recently. She had type 2 diabetes, didn't realize, got an infection, and by the time anybody found out what was going on, it was into the bone, and there was nothing that could be done. We've had an opportunity to help her. I do have a prosthesis on one side. I lost my leg when I was 12, so it gave me an opportunity to be able to minister to her and help her in ways that others couldn't. And so, you know, when you can take it off and set it on the counter and say, all right, here's the goal, you know, and give some hope that way, it's been a great opportunity there. And I challenged her to look at what God could use it to do, how God could use something even like that that's not a good thing, but use it for good, you know, all things, right? And so we challenged her, and through that, she had an opportunity to see some of her daughters hear the gospel, come back into church. They've had a real problem. Pastor Nicholson, just briefly, his testimony, he was a pastor for 30 years as well before he ever heard the gospel. And his sister got saved, witnessed, and had the nerve to witness to her brother, the pastor, and led him to the Lord eventually. He came, has gone through Bible college. They're both in the Capitol right now because our airline went bankrupt. And so there's some challenges that way. I'd ask you to pray for that. It does sound, we just heard news yesterday, that we may have domestic flights resuming in the next couple of months. We have a bunch of mission trips to do when we get back, so that's a real answer to prayer. Pray that that goes through. It's hard to get to the islands if there's no plane going to the islands. So pray that that occurs, that there's nothing that would hinder those mission trips. But Hosea and Georgina, they had a chance to go because Pastor Nicholson was in the Capitol. And he's been preaching for years, but a lot of people, they're very resistant to change, especially since he had already preached for 30 years something different. And they're looking and say, well, this is just something new. You're just following another man. And he was trying to tell them, no, I'm not. I'm following God, finally. I'm following God's word, finally. I'm following my Savior, finally. And it was hard. They were hesitant. His own family rejected it for the most part. So Hosea and Georgina went, and they had an opportunity, and they found out it's the same message. They're preaching the same thing. The questions that they challenged them with, same answers, what Pastor Nicholson had been teaching them. And they had an opportunity to lead one of the men that was an influential man in the church, and his wife to the Lord. From there, others started asking, now, wait a second here. It's not just Pastor Nicholson, but now another, what's going on? And through those 2 months, they had an opportunity to lead 36 people to the Lord. One of those families is Pastor Nicholson's daughter and son-in-law. Amazing blessing, just the joy on Tulsi, his wife, the joy on her face. And she looked at it and she said, God can use it for good. Nothing greater than that. 36 people saved. So one of the trips back is to go to help those new Christians, to preach, to help, with lots of different things. We'll see a number of them baptized during that time that have not had the opportunity yet with Pastor Nicholson being here. It'll be an amazing trip. Just pray that the planes fly so we can go. Nothing gets in the way of that. Kind of an accidental mission trip, an accidental outreach. Those happen sometimes, at least in the islands they do. You get a lot of accidental mission trips and ministries in the islands that you don't plan. And this is what I mean, not that it was a mistake, but we didn't plan for it. We didn't necessarily see it. And God opened the door and we kind of, you know, found ourselves walking into it saying, oh, okay. It's an amazing thing to have an accidental mission trip. In the island of Aramango, Stephen, one of our young men, pray for him if you would. He's in Bible college again. He was out because his dad, who is also a pastor, and he believes not saved, because Stephen never heard the gospel once growing up. He was saved in our youth, and he's been witnessing to his family. caused some friction with his dad. They sent him to Fiji. School's part of it, to get him away from us, and Bible college was another major part of that. There was a very good missionary in Fiji. And so we were able to say, hey, when you're in Fiji, he's just around the corner. Why don't you call? And then we also talked to Brother Mears and the church that he had there at the time and said, hey, we've got a young man coming. And he was active in the church. He continued to grow. He went through a Bible Institute there, was preaching in the church. He had a chance to support a brand new pastor in the area that he was in and was kind of the right-hand man to that pastor. Just brilliant the way that God used that. And so he came back even stronger and has started Bible college again. But when he came back, the first thing that his dad says is, you don't come back to Vila, that's where we are. You're going to Arimongo first. And so Stephen used it as an opportunity to preach. He started just with his brother and was holding Bible studies on Sunday because there's no church, there's no place that's preaching the gospel that's standing with God's word in his island. And so he started holding a Bible study. Other people started coming. Pretty soon a neighboring village said, hey, could you come and have a Bible study in the afternoon in our village? And an accidental mission trip started. And he had these opportunities. Through the time that he was there, about 3 months, he had a chance to see 9 people saved in Arimongo, a number of them his family. And he's going through discipleship with his brothers and cousins that were saved during that time now. Pray for him. As we left, he was just hitting the study on the Holy Spirit. His dad is an Assemblies of God pastor. It was a time of apprehension for him. Pray for wisdom in God's word for Stephen. Pray for strength for that young man to continue to stand. And pray for Arimongo. I've never been, but we've got an open door to go to Arimongo now. So I'm looking forward. And then in Vila, we've had, just in the last few months, we've had 8 saved through the church and the school ministry. We've had a baptism of one man that we've been praying for a number of years. One of Ronald's families, an in-law, that had been, rough. Escaped prison a couple of times without having to go through family and custom things. We saw him saved. We saw him active in discipleship and baptized and growing in the Lord. He's working in New Zealand right now through a seasonal work program, but he contacts me because he has access in New Zealand to Facebook and contacts me and asks discipleship questions. And that's basically what I use it for. It's become a Bible tool. So that's been a blessing to be able to see him active still and saying, hey, I was reading this. Can you help me understand it? And so we've continued his discipleship there. Pray for the school. We do have a need for a teacher. And I ask you to please pray for a new teacher. We had a challenge with one of our teachers last year that family pressures. She was a single young lady, young woman. And family pressures and social pressures, well, she chose the wrong path and had to resign. So pray for a new teacher. And if you think about it, pray for her as well. She's heavy on our hearts. But pray for a new teacher for the school. All of our teachers come out of the church ministry, and there's certainly a number of people that could. Pray that God would choose the right person. One last bit I want to talk about a bit because the presentation doesn't make it very clear. And then I'll give an opportunity if there's any questions about Vanuatu or about our people, about the ministries, about anything that way, I'd be happy to try and answer. I don't guarantee to have the answer, but I'll do my best. The last bit of the presentation, if you had noticed, there was a volcano that you saw in the background. And one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen in my life, just, you know, I grew up in Lewis County. Up in on Alaska, grew up on a dairy farm. If somebody would have told me, hey, you know, you're going to get a chance to stand on the rim of a volcano and look down into the caldera, I'd say, yeah, right. It was hard to put into words. But as we went up, we finally get up to the top of it. It's about 11 o'clock at night, so nobody else there. One of the boys from a local village had gone up with us. He stops us and says, wait here, I need to go talk to the volcano. I need to ask for permission. And the boy that you saw, if you remember seeing it, there was a boy standing by himself up there on the edge of the caldera. And that's what he was doing, was asking for permission. And so we stood back, and as he was talking, the volcano, the activity just dropped, something that only God could plan. And we didn't think we were going to get up very close because you had all of the, well, the venting, and it wasn't safe to get up on the caldera. But as he went up, it just quieted down. Still fairly active. You saw in some of the footage that was actually, I got to take that, which was pretty cool. But we got to go right up to the edge. And just the awesomeness of its power, you feel it through your bones, the noise as it rumbles. And he came up and stood next to me, and he said, "You're different." He says, "You guys are different." And so I said, "Well, how? What makes you say that?" And his answer was not what I expected. He said, "The volcano likes you." But okay. He says, "No, when you came, the volcano was quiet for you. The volcano likes you." Now, we had been in Tana teaching a lot of creation science at that time, so I had a chance to talk to him and say, "Well, the volcano is impressive, yes. The power of it is amazing. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But it's not the volcano that likes us." I said, "If you think this power is great, if you think this power is impressive, wait till you see the Creator of this volcano." And I had a chance to witness to him on standing on the edge of the volcano, looking down into the lava. It was just something that only God can work out. And then as we were coming down, he stopped and went back up and said, "Ooh, I almost forgot. I need to go say thank you to the volcano." And so he went back up and said his thank yous, turned around, and as he started coming back down, full activity again. Again, something that only God could do. And the look on his face was just, you know, what is going on here? This is different. And I told him, "Look, we're not different. We're just, you know, I'm standing up here, you know, trying to figure out whether I should be afraid or should be in awe or just, you know, I want to get closer, a little bit of everything." So this is the power of our God. This is the power of Yasur, the volcano's God. This is not John Frum in here. This is just one of his creations. And going down, Ronald had a chance to witness to him the whole way down, speaking in language to him, the Tannese language, and just a huge opportunity. I wish I could say the young man made his decision then and there, but he didn't. But as we left, he was holding his phone with the LED light on the back, holding the track and walking back to his village, reading the track. So pray for that young man. This last time we went back, we went up in the day, and I didn't get to see him. I was really hoping I would see that young man again, but didn't get to see him. Actually got a chance to talk to an Australian volcanologist this last time I was up on the top. So it's a great witnessing opportunity on the top of a volcano. He was up there, and he was standing up close, and I went up close. It's just my, I don't know, if you're going to be on a volcano, why stand back? And so we were standing up there on the edge, and he was talking about what was going on and, you know, how, well, it's building up like Mount St. Helens. And I said, "Hey, yeah, I have a little bit of experience with Mount St. Helens. I grew up close to that," and opened up a bit of discussion with him. And then he got to ask the question, "Well, what are you guys doing here?" He says, "Well, I'm a missionary, and we're teaching creation science." He's a volcanologist. And he went, "Creation science?" Great chance to be able to witness to him the whole way down. He asked if we'd give him a ride to the airport, so got to sit in the back of the truck with him going down all the way to the airport, witnessing to him. Pray for Tana. Pray for those opportunities. Pray for that young man. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll get to meet him again. I hope if I don't get to meet him here, one day I'll see him in heaven. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you have a chance to talk to somebody and you never see him again. You have no idea. Sometimes that's frustrating. Sometimes it's discouraging because we want to know. We want to find out. But I guess the encouragement in that is, if you've done your part, if you've shared the gospel, well, you had a chance to plant a seed. Pray that somebody else gets a chance to water. Pray that God will give the increase. And if you never see him again, that's okay. It's in God's hands. Do your part. Have that one little piece. And pray that one day in heaven you'll get to see him. If you have any questions about Vanuatu, yes.
How long have you been there?
Let's see. We started our deputation in 2004, and that was about the first time actually that we were here. We were here with the church pretty early on in our deputation. Being up in, you know, Faith Baptist in Chehalis, we're pretty close. And we got to Vanuatu full-time in 2006. So from 2006 till now. God's been really good to us. We have our citizenship now, so I have two passports. They allow dual citizenship, so a green one for Vanuatu, and then we just have our brand new ones for the U.S. So we are there to stay. God really blessed us in that because it's a naturalized citizenship, which means we didn't just pay for it, but we were adopted into a family, into a village. We are considered Ni Vanuatu. And everybody told me that at first, and it was like, yeah, okay. But for the people of Vanuatu, when I say, no, we have our citizenship, we were adopted into Malekula, they say, oh, you're Ni Vanuatu. And the first time somebody said that to me with no hesitation, oh, you're not an expatriate, you're Ni Vanuatu. It was just, oh, huge opportunity in the country. So no matter what happens, we've got some ground in Malekula, if nothing else, and family that's there. I can get a birth certificate saying I was born there. That's how adoption works in Vanuatu, which is great when we're teaching adoption in the Bible, because it's as if you were born there when you are adopted. It's an amazing thing. So God has really blessed us that way. And Lord willing, we're there for the rest of our life. I have no desire to be anywhere else. Any other questions? Yeah. Oh, maybe not. Maybe come back. Any other questions today? If not, that's okay. Yeah.
How many people are actually
inside the church? We have, on average, somewhere between about 75 to 200. And that sounds odd, but the reason why is we're on an island. There's a lot of movement back and forth through the islands. And every year there's kind of a mass exodus, if you want to call it that, in our summertime. Because in our summer, tourism slows down. People don't want to come to Vanuatu in the middle of summer. It's hot, it's humid. And so it slows down. School's let out, so students are not in school. Port Vila is a difficult place to live. It's becoming more so as time goes. And so when they don't have a reason to be there, nobody wants to stay in Port Vila. They go back to their islands. And so when you're in Christmas time, everybody leaves and the church gets much smaller. But everybody's going out and witnessing in their islands, like Stephen, for example, like Ronald, for example. They're going out, and they're going out with, you know, as many tracts as they can carry, and they're going out with God's word. But we get small in the capital during that time. And then about March, most people have showed back up in March, and we have a really big group till about July, and July is Independence, and about the same thing happens again. A lot of people leave during July, and it's school holidays. They go back to the islands, and then they'll come back. It's a shorter time in, usually a month or two past that, depending on what flights and situations are like. Right now, we have a lot of people that are kind of stuck all over the place because no planes, with our national airline having gone into liquidation. So hopefully, again, that's a real blessing. It was a real encouragement to us to hear that that's changing. So somewhere between about 75 to about 200, depending on when you're there. It varies a lot. So. Yes? So Vanuatu has three official languages. French and English, which are typically the, if somebody is going to read and write, and literacy is relatively low in the country, if they're going to read and write, it'll be in either French or in English. So as far as the Bible goes, we have a good English Bible. Okay? So we use our King James Bible. And it's amazing in Vanuatu. A lot of people have people say, well, isn't that hard? Well, no. We've had first graders that have gone back to the island and have read their Bible, and the whole village has come around because they're the first person that could read the Bible. And they're having, you know, Bible studies, if you will, reading the Bible. There's no excuse there. But also, the language, the common spoken language is Bislama. Bislama is similar to Pidgin in Papua New Guinea. So it's a mixture of English and French, and then there's 118 different dialects throughout the country as well. And so all of that gets blended together into Bislama. Bislama is the spoken. I mistakenly thought when you learn a language, you read and write it, and everybody else does too. Most people cannot read and write Bislama, but they can speak Bislama. Most people, if they are literate in English, they are not fluent to speak English. So it's an interesting combination. But Bislama was taught by two groups for the English side of things. The missionaries that came in. And so a lot of Bislama is King James English. And the CBs in World War II. So it's an interesting mix of language. But that is Bislama. So we speak Bislama, everything, most everything that we do. The school is in English because immersion. We want them to learn to read, write, and speak English, to be fully fluent in it. Everything else is in Bislama. Bible college is maybe the only exception that it's a little bit of both. Some of the things in Bible college, there's just simply not words in Bislama. There's only about 2,800 words in the language. And it's pretty hard to teach theology with 2,800 words. A lot of those words just don't exist. So it's a mixture of English and Bislama for Bible college. Language? Yeah, anyone good language? Anyone something where you tell you sabe, but you must use and handle you plenty. Or you start storing no same. You got plenty different something inside a language where you got chance to use. Sometimes you start storing the one man. So we use it a lot. We are fluent in it. It's a lot of fun. I tone it down a little bit sometimes because you have to use a lot of motions. And you see, I use my hands a lot. You have to be expressive, otherwise you don't get the idea across, because words work really hard when you only have 2,800 words. And so if you don't have the right expression, you don't quite get things. You can have big, you can have big, small, you can have a little bit, you can have big, way big, you can have big, way big, big, way, big, way big. And each of those have a different meaning. What we would have, you know, it's medium, it's big, it's large, it's huge, it's ginormous. Okay. But in Bislama, it's just you have big. And so you modify big with a lot of different things. So it's a fun language. So
if somebody went over there just speaking English, you'd be able to communicate okay?
In the capital, you'd do pretty well. In our church, you would do quite well. Those that don't, they would be able to at least follow somewhat. They may not be able to respond well in English, but they could follow a good portion of what you're saying. Visitors, not so much. To give an example, Ronald's dad, when he came, that I mentioned that I had a chance to witness to him, the way that actually worked in detail, he speaks Tanese. He reads French. He does not speak English. So I sat down with an English Bible. He sat down with a French Bible. I spoke in Bislama. Ronald translated into Tanese. And so you had a lot of different things going for that conversation to happen. When he gave his testimony for the church, he didn't have the Bislama to give his testimony. A lot of people in Vanuatu don't speak Bislama fluently. And so they only have their tribal language. So he gave his testimony in his tribal language, and Ronald translated it into Bislama for all of the rest of our people in the church so that they could understand, because they didn't know the Tanese language. And so communication is challenging sometimes. You need to have a lot of help, and men like Ronald have been a huge help to us that way, because you know what they're translating is solid. They understand, not just trying to mimic words, but they understand the meaning of the words, and that's been a real blessing. And those tribal languages, it's actually easier for them to preach in those languages than Bislama, because they are full languages. They're not just a pidgin language with a couple thousand words. All right. Any other? Yes. Oh, we got two. So we'll start on the right, or my right.
Question. How's your support financial, and what are your prayerful needs for your ministry?
Amen. Thank you. Our support personally right now, God has blessed us, and we are not actively seeking more support. We've lost churches over time, and God has blessed us that some have raised the support, or we've had a couple of new churches that we haven't even seen yet that have taken us on, which has been a real blessing. And God has always provided for us that way. We trust in the future He'll continue to do so. For the ministry, there's always need in the ministry. As we have more mission trips going, those needs grow, because it's expensive to travel. To travel from Vila to Tana, for example, the flight costs about the same as it does to fly internationally to New Zealand, even though it's domestic in the country. We have no idea what the prices are going to be like with this new airline that's supposedly come. There's a lot of questions right now. So I don't really know what things are going to look like. The fact that there will be planes flying is good. I have no clue what they're going to be charging. It's going to be a different company. It's not going to be government run. So I don't really know. As far as prayer requests, that is a big one, because the logistics of flying through those islands, it's basically like taking a landmass of Rhode Island, chopping it up and throwing it over Texas. There's a lot of gaps between islands. You can't just easily jump in a boat and go. It's by plane for a lot of them if you're going to go. Or multiple days on a boat if you're going to go by boat. The problem there is, once you're there, the boat may not return for a couple of months. So for us in the ministry, it's hard to go by boat, because you're there and it may or may not show up again, and you don't know. So the planes are really the best option for us. They're a little bit more guaranteed that they'll actually come back. And again, I don't know what it'll be like with the new one, but you always plan for a plan B just in case, even with the planes before. So hopefully it's a little bit more reliable in what comes. The biggest prayer request, pray for these young men that are going out. Pray for those that are in Bible college. We have a number of new students this year in Bible college. Pray for them, because it is a challenge for a new student to jump into Bible college. Especially since it's going to be a mixture of English and Bislama, it'll really challenge their English at the beginning. So pray for them, that they would stick to it. Pray for wisdom for us to help them, and not to allow them to get discouraged, if at all possible. Like I mentioned, for the teacher, pray for a need for a teacher. These islands, the island of Tana, last time I was there, we had men from five, just on a very quick head count, different villages that had come. And the question that all of them had is, as we're learning God's word, as we're growing, we don't have a church to go to that's teaching God's word. What do we do? We're commanded to be in church. We don't have a church. What do we do? And all kinds of questions that follow that. We're supposed to give tithe, but we don't have a church to give it to. What do we do? And some challenging questions when you're in an area that there's no church. So pray for wisdom in that. Pray for those young men going out, that we would see that need answered, that we would see churches that are standing on God's word, that are preaching the gospel for those men to go to. That's the biggest prayer. There's 80 plus islands. We need more men like that. There's a great need for solid churches. The examples that I gave, number of pastors that we know personally that had never heard the gospel, that's throughout the whole country. You'll find churches, but they're all those custom churches, and many of the times the pastor himself has never heard. So pray for more men. Pray for churches to be started. Pray for God's working in their hearts and their willingness to surrender. and pray for wisdom for us that we would know how to help them in that and guide them in God's will. That's the biggest prayer request that I could possibly give. All the rest of it is focused just to make that possible. The school, the teachers, the support, the finances, everything, that's the goal. That's the purpose. So pray for that. Pray for that. No, I don't know what time you normally finish Sunday school, Pastor. I know we're coming up on 10 o'clock if the watch back there, or the clock back there is accurate. So I'm happy to keep taking questions, but probably... Okay, well, I think we had one more question. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, the boats, there are a couple of options to the main islands that you're going to, but again, there's no guarantee it's going to come back. If the waves get rough, if the ocean is not cooperating, then you can't go because the boat doesn't go. Most of the time for the smaller areas like Malekula, it's a plane flight, and then you have about a 3-hour boat ride to get to his village anyways because there's no landing strip, there's no roads, it's just a village in the bush. And so you're out open ocean on a little boat, which has some interesting stories I could tell on that. I have a lot of empathy for the disciples that I didn't have before, saying, they need some grace when you're in the storm on a little boat. I learned some things through that. Ronald's nickname is Jonah because of one of those trips. So we have fun stories afterwards that are maybe not as fun when you're in the middle of them, but it's always exciting. It's never boring. And again, even in those times, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. So, but do pray for the planes because it's a lot harder without them. So, thank you, Pastor.